This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
All right, good evening. I want to welcome everyone to our show here. We have our special distinguished guest this evening, Professor James Spetzer, who, of course, is now recently retired, but he still has well earned that title, so we'll still address him as Professor. Welcome, Mr. Spetzer.
Well, thanks very much, Charlie.
It turns out this is actually the fourth time I've interviewed you. I don't know if you remember or not. The last time we had you on for 2 hours, we actually talked about the JFK assassination. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, I think I would. I've done, of course, hundreds of talk shows on JFK.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. But anyway, we had quite an interesting talk. In fact, the one thing that stuck in my mind, we interviewed you like 2 weeks apart, one time on 9/11 and then one time on Kennedy. And it was one of those times that you had brought to my attention for the first time that Zellico article on Wikipedia. And that just floored me. I couldn't believe it. I had never seen that before. So right after we got off the phone with you, I went to Wikipedia, and sure enough, there it was. You know, talking about how his area of expertise was basically propaganda, you know, molding public opinion.
Yes.
And that was a major piece of the puzzle.
Well, I think it is. I think you're right about that, Charlie, because, I mean, the guy's an expert in the creation and manipulation of myths, especially political myths, myths in political context.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I mean, you know, for a guy who's going to fake it, I mean, he's the perfect guy to do it, and that appears to be exactly what he's done.
Yeah, and, you know, understand that this is the guy that Bush personally appointed. Of course, he personally appointed the whole commission, but he gave him the position as of, you know, executive director. This is the guy that decided basically everything that the commission was going to look at. And for him to be a propagandist, literally, that's what his title is. That should tell people something right there. He wasn't interested in an investigation.
That's right. Well, as I may have told you, if you take, you know, the 9/11 Commission report and just imagine it written on a piece of paper suspended in space where it's connected to the world or to experience or to reality by a bunch of little threads that are supposed to function as anchors, where some of those threads reflect passenger manifests, pilot training, cell phone calls, the time of destruction of the towers, the videotapes at the Pentagon and all that. We've investigated all those little threads and find there simply are no anchors between this theory suspended in space and reality, which means that it has a status of a myth, a hoax, a piece of fakery. It is fiction, not fact.
Yeah, and then you see that initially he appointed Henry Kissinger to be the chairman. Of course, that didn't work out as conflict of business interest. But once again, we see another major problem here. If there was any interest in an investigation, a real investigation, of course, people have to bear in mind that they didn't even want this commission in the first place. They fought it tooth and nail for 14 months. But if there was any sincere desire on their part to be open and straightforward, Henry Kissinger would not have been the man of choice.
Kissinger's a great choice if you want to sweep things under the rug, but if you want to expose the truth to daylight, he's exactly the wrong guy.
Exactly. So, you know, right there, I mean, people who say that you're paranoid for questioning the official story, you're crazy, although they can't so easily do that anymore, can they, because we're in a majority now.
Well, I think literally that's true, although the most recent, you know, Zogby, I think, showed 36% were skeptical. I've seen lots of poll results in the meanwhile that indicate larger and larger percentages are disbelieving. And perhaps more importantly, we've had the president during a press conference admit that there was nothing connecting Saddam Hussein to the events of 9/11. We've had a Senate Intelligence Committee report that established there were no connections between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, except that he was seeking to track down their leaders in prison and probably kill them. And, most interestingly, a couple months ago, our own FBI acknowledged that it had no hard evidence relating Osama bin Laden to 9/11. So I say, if Saddam had nothing to do with it, and if Osama had nothing to do with it, then who did? Who was responsible for 9/11?
Exactly. I don't know if you caught this, but this is a typical example of the kind of schizophrenic reporting we get, not only from the media, but the schizophrenic messages that the government sends to us through the media. Back on July 4th, it came out that the CIA had discontinued their Bin Laden search unit late last year. They said that, this Al-Qaeda has been disbanded for the most part, or at least it's just coordinated. You know, it doesn't have a centralized leadership. Osama doesn't play a big role, so we're not looking for him that urgently anymore. So we discontinued the search unit. But then 2 weeks ago, they came out with a story. I think it was WorldNet Daily, a couple other papers came out with it, that the CIA actually beefed up their Bin Laden search efforts back in June. So which is it? Did they discontinue it in December, or did they beef up the search efforts?
Well, they lie out of both sides of their mouth, and they pick the one to emphasize that fits the political context at the time. I mean, this is the biggest group of liars and hypocrites and thieves and cheaters and mass murderers in American history. It's disgusting that they have this position in control of our government.
But then again, as far as Bin Laden goes, I suppose it doesn't matter because he has now died for the second time.
There's a lot of conjecture that he actually died at Tora Bora.
Right, right. Died in December 2001. Now he died. This is going to be like Zarqawi. You know, he died about six times.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
He's got Osama beat. But it would be interesting if further confirmation came out of this latest report because, of course, the latest Bin Laden tape came out, what, like a week or two ago?
Yes, and of course, the government has proven unwilling to verify or, you know, stand behind, certify that it's authentic. Most of these Bin Laden tapes, of course, turn out not to have been, apart from the initial one in which he denied having anything to do with 9/11 and pointed out that it was contrary to the principles of Islam to kill innocent women and children.
Sure. Well, I find it particularly humorous when the FBI says that they haven't found any credible evidence to connect him with 9/11. That obviously includes the Bin Laden tapes. They don't find them credible evidence.
Well, that's a nice point. Usually they use the word credible to as a weasel word so that no matter how powerful the evidence, they just don't find it credible. So it's used to subjectify an objective relationship. I mean, the evidence bears a certain logical standing in relation to alternative hypotheses that can even be measured when you have suitable metrics, but when they use the word not finding it credible, that means they're not referring to an objective yardstick. They're referring to their subjective degree of willingness to accept or reject, and, of course, that's completely under their own control.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to suggest maybe we should call the FBI and ask them to put Bush on their 10 most wanted terrorist list because we do have credible evidence to connect him.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, he's violated international law, the UN Charter, the U.S. Constitution, launching these wars of aggression. Remember, when he talks about going on the offense, you know, fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here, what he's really talking about is turning the United States into an aggressor nation for the first time in its history by attacking nations that have never attacked us. And that's, of course, precisely what he has done.
Yeah. He overthrew Saddam because he was torturing his people, and now we're torturing. He overthrew Saddam because he had weapons of mass destruction, and now we're using weapons of mass destruction over there. He overthrew him because he was supporting Al-Qaeda, supposedly, and yet Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation. I mean, it's the doublespeak is phenomenal.
You're right on all counts. I think now that Bush has bitten off more than he can chew with this national intelligence estimate reporting that we're creating more terrorists than we're killing over there.
Yeah, that was major. That was a major blow.
And when they tried to attack Clinton, you know, and pass the buck to him with this docu-fiction path to 9/11 film, example, on ABC, Clinton very appropriately responded when Chris Wallace tried to perpetuate the mythology that Clinton was responsible when, in fact, he and Sandy Berger and the United States intelligence agencies had been very aggressively pursuing Bin Laden, something that Bush all but abandoned because their foremost objective when they came into office was to be the anti-Clintons. If Clinton supported it, they wouldn't.
It's astonishing that they don't mention anything like, John O'Neill, who was fired because, you know, he was still pursuing the Bin Laden investigation when they had, you know, Bush had personally ordered it to cease and desist, you know, the executive order W-199.
Oh, that's a great point, Charlie. That, look, this has got to come out. This has got to be in the newspapers in the next couple of days. That's a wonderful point.
It's incredible, you know, they're just turning a deaf ear to these things. And it's a diversion tactic is all it is. It'll be elections coming up. They want to demonize the other party so that they can continue to hold the reins of power. It's obvious what's going on here.
I am personally of the opinion that the reason he was given the head of security position in the World Trade Center is so they could kill him.
It appears that way, doesn't it?
That's certainly my opinion.
And that works the other way. You had Buzzy Cronger, who headed up, I forget the name of the business now, but it was involved in about $5 million worth of insider trading before 9/11. They turn around and make him executive director of the CIA. You know.
And, of course, there were an awful lot of important SEC investigations and so forth that were destroyed when Building 7 was pulled at the instruction
Enron.
Of Larry Silverstein. Yeah.
The records of the Enron investigation.
That's right. Enron included.
That's convenient, isn't it?
Very convenient.
Considering Bush's best buddies with Mr. Kenny Lay there.
Yeah, I think the motives for bringing down Building 7 may have been multitudinous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of rat's nests in there.
Yeah, you start getting into the financial aspects of this, and it begins to stagger you when you realize that, for example, Donald Rumsfeld had announced to Congress the day before, Monday, that the Pentagon was unable to track $2.3
trillion.
Trillion dollars. And, you know, sophisticated politicians never announce bad news on a Monday because it's going to dog them all week. They announce it on a Friday and hope the weekend will break things up and people will be distracted by other issues. And then, of course, Larry Silverstein insures the buildings for 3.5 and then insists it's two different hits and goes for $7 billion. And then you got Halliburton collecting all these $100 billion no-bid contracts for feeding our troops garbage in Iraq. I mean, there were a lot of powerful interests, and all that gold that was in the, you know, underground at the World Trade Center disappears. And now we have all the Enron records and everything else the SEC was investigating. And, of course, you may or may not know, but a rather substantial number of accountants and budget analysts who were, I'm quite sure, tracking the $2.3 trillion were killed when the whatever hit the Pentagon, and I personally am convinced it was a missile fired into the building before us, a smaller plane, no Boeing 757 hit the building. And when I was recently challenged by a guy named J.R. Dunn, who's the editor of some international military encyclopedia, he said that he thought it was ludicrous, you know, to suggest that a missile had been fired into the building. What purpose could be served by that? And I pointed out to him in response that there might be a very good reason. You could much more accurately control a missile. You could take out this group of budget experts working on the $2.3 trillion. You couldn't control exactly where the plane's going to hit or who it's going to kill or how much damage be done. So I think actually there was a very powerful motive. In fact, I would say $2.3 trillion represents a motive.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting, you know, if you look at the flight path, the angle that plane came in, if worst came to worst and it continued on into the other side of the structure, it still would not have hit any significant staff.
Oh, it's all ridiculous, you know, hitting that part of the building when it's just been undergoing renovation and so forth, so there were very few files and personnel, except for this group. And, you know, I actually have gone through the list of casualties from the Pentagon. And I found the names of 16 who were identified as, I'm looking at it right now, Kerry Blackburn, 48, civilian budget analyst, Angeline C. Carter, accountant, U.S. Army, Carolyn B. Hallman, 49, budget analyst, U.S. Army, Jamie Ira Hawley, 54, accountant, Peggy Hurt, 36, accountant, U.S. Army, Brenda Kugler, 49, budget analyst, U.S. Army. David W. Lachak, 40, civilian budget analyst. Samantha Lightborn Allen, 36, budget analyst, U.S. Army. Shelley A. Marshall, 37, budget analyst, Defense Intelligence Agency. Patricia Patty Mickley, financial manager, Defense Department. Odessa V. Morris, 54, budget analyst, U.S. Army. Martha Resnick, 36, budget analyst, U.S. Army. So Cecilia E. Richard, 41, accounting technician, U.S. Army. Marjorie C. Salamone, 53, budget program analyst, U.S. Army. Antoine Sherman, 35, budget analyst, U.S. Army. Edna L. Stevens, 53, budget analyst, U.S. Army.
Wow.
I mean, out of there were 125 casualties from the Pentagon, and a minimum of 16, whose names I've just read, were killed, and as many as 8 more were possibly related, but where the way they're described doesn't tell me sufficiently unambiguously that they were involved, but they may very well have been. I'd say this was a very bad day to have been in pursuit of $2.3 trillion on behalf of the American taxpayer.
You know, I'd like to know how much of that actually went toward funding the whole operation itself, too.
I don't know the answer to that question, but, you know, if we could ask Dov Zakheim, who was a controller, who, like Michael Chertoff, has a joint citizenship, both American and Israeli. I mean, to me, it's bizarre that anyone who has a joint citizenship to be put in such a position of trust because they have such an obvious conflict of interest. Why would you trust the biggest budget for a single agency in the world to someone who has a joint citizenship? Or why would you trust Homeland Security to someone who has a joint citizenship? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense.
Schizophrenic loyalties, yeah, exactly. You know, I just got reminded by our producer, we actually have two hosts this evening. The other one is John Neal. I just wanted to remind him to feel free to jump
in. Well, let's bring John on in. John, how are you tonight?
Maybe he's not with us. John, are you there? Ooh, we can hardly hear you.
So maybe John has been articulating, but we...
we never heard him. Uh-oh. Yeah, John, you're really faint in the background there. I don't know if there's some way that you can boost your sound or... Wow. Let me check the room. Can the people in the room hear him?
But, you know, the point is, Charlie, there are an awful lot of motives that were very tangible. I mean, this is long before you get into the question of ideology and creating, you know, the American empire with a string of bases around the world and moving aggressively into the Middle East so we can take control of the natural resources.
Absolutely.
And exert American power outward.
Now we're getting an echo. Mike? I don't know what's causing that. Oh, I think it's gone now. You still there?
Good. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No echo. Good.
It's taken care of. That's good.
Excellent.
You know, coming back for a second to, there's so much to talk about. You know, strange goings-on in Building 7. One pet theory I've had, of course, didn't originate with me, but one that I've been fond of, is the possibility that the command and control center may have actually been in that building.
Many of us have entertained that hypothesis.
Yeah. And, of course, they had that mysterious $12 million bunker that Giuliani had installed in there.
And yet he didn't go there.
Yeah, never went in.
Isn't that damn strange? He's got a special bunker. It's got its own air and water supply. It's been reinforced and designed, and it's... You know, very impregnable, and yet the mayor of the city for whom it was intended doesn't go there.
And he even said, we were on VC Street setting up a base of operation. Why was he there?
Right.
And in that context, of course, he admits he was told the buildings were going to collapse.
I know, when no steel structure high-rise had ever collapsed as a function of fire and where the plane impacts were, of course, negligible in their effect.
So says FEMA. They admit that no high-rise had ever fallen.
Hey, you might be interested in a new study by two members of scholars. Craig Furman and Gordon Ross have discovered a discrepancy in the times of impact of the planes based upon seismic data from seismographs maintained by Columbia University and FAA and radar data, such that it turns out that the seismic data is occurring something like 14 to 17 seconds before the impact data, according to the FAA and radar, which supports what Willie Rodriguez has been saying all along, namely there was
right.
this tremendous explosion in the sub-basement before the planes hit the building.
You know, there's some really good footage in that recently released, I guess it's going to be a three-part documentary, 9/11 Mysteries. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and there's some really good footage in there of both towers as they begin to collapse. One of them is from Siegel's film, you know, the North Tower. They are showing the bright shining dust emanating from the base. But the one of the south tower is even more astonishing because it's shot at a closer range, and there's no reason for dust being at ground level at that point because that's the first tower that collapsed. There shouldn't be any dust at the base.
Oh, you're right.
You see this, Yeah, you see this. It's not only dust, but it's glowing, a bright hue. And he shouldn't. What's the light for that?
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, that would suggest possibility of radioactivity, I suppose.
Well, it's certainly suggesting that there's some kind of explosion anyway, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get suspicious about radioactivity.
I don't know. We've had a series of reports lately about pockets of radioactivity in New York that are unexpected. I've got three articles about it on Scholar's website right now, st911.org. If you go to the headlines at the top, you'll find them in a box.
Well, they said that there's multiple locations where they found this. One of them is the Great Kills Park, which I understand is only about 3 miles away from Fresh Kills, which, of course, is where the material was dumped.
Yeah. Well, maybe they dumped it various places, you know. I mean, you can officially be dumping at one. And, I mean, look, if you got a lot of truck drivers, they could get mistaken, right? They know it's killed something. I mean, I think that would be an easy confusion to commit.
Interestingly, what they said was radioactive at the Great Kills site was some old construction equipment.
Really?
Was that, you know, brought there from Fresh Kills? Was it used to help go through the debris?
How old was the construction equipment? Maybe it looked old. You know, radioactivity can cause things to age prematurely. In other words, you know, it would look much older than it actually was.
Well, as of June, I'm sure it's worse now, but as of June, there was like something like 238 cancer victims of people that had, you know, they were in perfect health prior to 9/11. Since 9/11, they've gotten cancers. Several of them have, 33 have already died. And a lot of these cancers are Hodgkin's lymphoma, which I guess is endemic to radiation poisoning.
Well, this is real scary. I mean, a lot of people have this black stuff oozing out of their pores, and they're having bowel movements that are blue and green. I mean, it is weird.
Wow. I think I've made it, guys.
Oh, hey, there he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello, Jane. Hello.
Hey, John. How are you?
Professor, I'm doing very well.
Welcome aboard.
It was a technical issue that I cannot explain. And
no problem.
Go to Plan B and go through another phone. And
but if you got a couple issues you want to kick in, you know, just go right ahead.
Yeah,
because
I wanted to remind our listening audience, this is the BBS radio network. It's an internet network. It's also being broadcast on PalTalk to a group of about probably 60 or 70 in the same room together listening. And we also have different other ways to get this word out. And this word that I'm talking about is shocking to anybody that is hung up on mainstream news. What I have been doing personally lately, I've been listening to Hannity and Limbaugh and their explanation of the NIE. And their spin to avoid talking about 9/11.
Tell us, what are they saying about the National Intelligence Estimate regarding the war?
To lead up to that, of course, we have the fifth anniversary of this attack, and it was preceded by the bickering and the volleying of this docudrama that was going to come out and make everybody not think about 9/11 other than Clinton Bush, you know, who's more responsible. Go into it knowing that it's true that 19 Arab men with box cutters did this under the orders and the auspices of some cave dweller in Afghanistan, some mysterious person that amazingly escaped. Well, wasn't that amazing? Since he was surrounded on three of four fronts, they were allowed to escape the south direction because they were not blocked when they went from Afghanistan to Pakistan. But what Hannity and Limbaugh, what they've been doing the last couple of days is masterful, because they don't stop yapping, for one thing. They don't have any counter opinion. They don't allow it. They mute people that try to say anything totally against the grain. They let people slip in something minor, and then they cut them off. They would not let the three of us even start. You know that.
No.
At all. We would not even be able to say anything about what gravity does to objects as they fall and how fast it goes.
Gravity is controversial.
Gravity is the laws of nature cannot be violated. It is not possible unless you're being lied to.
And yeah.
We're being lied to.
It's true.
I think personally we're being lied to.
Massively.
I caught most of what the two of you were saying until I had that problem and I had to come back. And you're pointing out things that you are talking to several people, especially in this PalTalk forum, who are right there with you that have done some of this research. But, Dr. Fetzer, when you drew out those 16 of 120-plus people in the Pentagon that you've read from a list of those that were victims of that attack, and And then we're able to so easily connect the mysterious aspects of that occurrence with the missing 2.3 trillion. Add 1.1 to that, make it 3.4, and add more to that, because the looting of this treasury is occurring at an exponential rate currently, because it's not winning we're talking about, it's fighting. As long as we're prosecuting an Orwellian global war on terror forever and ever, amen, then those that make bombs, sell and contract out torture, those that have security apparatuses like Blackwater, DynCorp, those people that are actually helping in looting of this treasury. So you got 3.4 trillion that just went poof. And then add to that the recent 400 plus billion that's been appropriated to spend over there. Add to that all these other incredible amounts of money. We're talking about money that is just, we can't imagine it. You could stack it end on end. You could stack it page on page, leaf on leaf. It would go to the moon.
And John, let me ask you this question. I mean, you know, they're deliberately bankrupting the nation, or so it would appear. And in Iraq, they appear to be deliberately gutting the military. I mean, general after general, and Batista was just on today talking about it, have acknowledged this is not sustainable, that it's breaking the army, it's killing the National Guard. We've known this for a long time. And of course, our moral standing in the world has been completely squandered. So if you want to talk about national security, it has three legs. One is financial security, a second is military strength, and the third is moral standing. And this administration has squandered, spent, destroyed all three. And I'm trying to figure out, is this some deliberate policy to shatter the United States? Is this somehow part and parcel of the North American Union plan?
It doesn't happen until it's signed off on by those that control this fiat money that's appropriated to do these totally, totally super hyperinflated things. And the fiat money is, you need to, if you haven't seen it yet, oh, it's 8:30, we need to take a break real soon, but you need to, our audience needs to see, if they haven't seen yet, Aaron Russo's version of the question, what in the world are we doing with this whole system of sending most of our money toward an entity that really has nothing to do with our government? We're sending 30%, 40% to a group that has nothing to do with us. They lie to us. They tell us that all of this appropriated money, all of these budgets, and all this bickering that they do about spending these multiple billions and trillions of dollars has some weight in reality when it doesn't, because the money is all fiction. It's all imagined. And those that sign off on this and say, go ahead and spend a half a trillion over there in Iraq, go ahead and gather up this 3.4 trillion of just booty money. I mean, it's unbelievable. It could support a country. You could build a country in 3.4 trillion.
When you put this together with the Pan-American Union fiasco that's already been signed, it's going to go into effect by 2010, merging Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. It's obvious.
I read about that, too. And another thing, the 2008, they're working on this national ID where they want to put a chip in our car.
Charlie, tell me this. How can it even be legal? You know, I mean, Rumsfeld just got back from some secret meeting up in Canada trying to promote this thing. I mean, even if these are elected officials, they can't have, it seems to me, how can they have the authority to essentially destroy the national sovereignty of the United States? I don't understand it.
Exactly. Well, nothing they do is legal. They just do it. That's what a dictator does. No regard for law.
Yes,
yet he always talks about rule of law. Yeah, law as they define it at any given moment.
It's one of the things about perpetual warfare. They have a plan to fight for a long time, multiple fronts all over the world. The
enemy
is invisible. The enemy is invisible. It's defined by them. It could be us. It could be you. It could be me. It's according to what they say. And it is a tactic. It's an emotion. We're going to have a war on terror. Let's have a war on jealousy. How about it while we're at it? Let's have a war on the reaction of an act. Let's not have a war against another group of people that have insignia and have weapons and they're visible and they're over there coming at us. We know where they are. We know what they look like. They're going to kill us if we don't kill them. Then everybody who wanted to survive would rise up and fight against that. But the enemy now is some invisible, it's an invisible realm, and it's a dark enemy. It's the 20s black and white silent movies that had a dark Arab, the Arab desert dwellers that were just menacingly evil, started out there, the boogeyman. And now it's totally evolved into whatever they want us to, you know, they tell us what it is, and you have all of these people in the media that agree with everything they say. We need to take a quick break. I want to jump right back into this.
You got it.
I want to try to get audience questions before this hour is over. And we're going to switch over now to a public service announcement. We feel it's necessary to share with our audience as well some other people in this world that have things to say in their public service announcements.
So we're going to have a prize giveaway, too.
And we do have a prize giveaway later on. What's it going to be tonight, Charlie? Is it going to be Loose Change 2?
Right.
I think, yeah, Loose Change 2 is going to be a give. It's going to be on our giveaway tonight. We do, it's at the bottom of the hour now, so we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back as soon as we can. Stick with us. This should get very interesting, it should get very interesting very rapidly, because we have a lot of things we need to talk about and not a lot of time tonight to do it. So we'll be right back right after this. Stick with us.
Millions of people are doing it on Pal Talk already. Meet new friends, see and be seen on webcams, and share files. With real-time video and the ability to talk to all your AOL, MSN, Yahoo, and ICQ buddies from one list, Pal Talk has it all. Join hundreds of chat rooms or start your own. Visit www.paltalk.com today and download the new messenger for free. Pal Talk, communication beyond words. In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who are forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Had a short little break there. As we mentioned before the break, we're going to have a giveaway. It's the second edition of Change, one of the best videos out there on documentaries on 9/11. Although I think they're all good, actually. I think all of them have really good pluses to them. But this is by far the most commonly known, the most popular one. Lots of good footage in there. Something that you can share with friends that aren't aware of this. And 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, they're going to come back to you with their jaw dropped and say, wow, you're not so crazy after all. You're right. This is a good way to expose what's been going on and bring people into the realm of reality. So I guess I'm going to go ahead at this time with the question. So get your busy fingers there ready to type the answer in the window there. I was told to make it a fairly easy question, so I'm sure most of you are going to know the answer to this. So it's going to be one of those photo finish jobs, the first person. And how about we do it like this? You've got to type the first and last name.
Okay.
And we're looking for the name of the person who made the famous Pullet statement about Building 7. So we want the first and last name of the person who made the famous Pullet statement. He said that we pulled the building. So whoever gets that typed in, wow, I don't see anybody typing it in yet.
We may have
a delay.
No, I think we're still on the DBS, but I think the Pal Talk audience currently, I don't think, is hearing us.
Oh, wow. And the questions,
yes, they are. Yes, they are. It may be. Yes, I think there's a little bit of an internet delay.
And oh, okay.
The correct answer, I see. And it looks like even the correct spelling.
DM.
On the last name. So, yeah, I do see that. I do see it up there. And we will make the determination who we think did it first. And we'll leave that up to the folks and the moderators in Pal Talk.
Yeah, it might have been someone
who they saw answer give the correct answer first. Should we go ahead and since we already see the correct answer? Let's jump into that, because I wanted to talk to Dr. Fester
sure.
about this particular thing, too. The person that used that word, pull it, and now they're backtracking. You can go to the 9/11, debunking 9/11 website, I think is open now, for you to go in and be entertained. Talking about pulling it was Larry Silverstein, of course. He leased the World Trade Center complex just a few weeks before this occurred, and a year after the event, 9/11 event, I think it was, right, Charlie, on the America Rebuilds from PBS.
Right.
He directly used that terminology. He said A decision was made to pull it, and then we watched the building collapse. Now, the explanation these days from people that are finally, I guess, after 5 years, are thinking, well, we better come up with some response because they're not going to shut up about it, just pull it. They're saying pull the firefighters out. And so you label firefighters as a large it, I guess. And those who blow up buildings for a living in a demolition sense know that to pull it is to make it fall in on itself. Pull the walls down from the inside.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. I mean, what he actually said was that he was in conversation with this and he hesitates, fire commander, and that hesitation indicates to me that he knew him under a different designation, and told him there'd been so much loss of life and destruction that perhaps the best thing to do was to pull it. He said they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building come down. The word it, of course, is usually referred to inanimate objects. It would be very odd to be referring to a group of firemen. Plus, there hadn't been any firemen in the building since at least 11 a.m. that morning, so there weren't any firemen to bring out of the building.
Probably mechanics admit that. First, they say that he's referring to a team of firemen, but earlier in the article, they admit that there were no firemen in the building.
This is the way it is, you know, when you're blowing it out of both ends.
That's part of the explanation. Charlie just nailed that part of that explanation that I've read about as well. Some people have said in this group, the small group that was on the street that day, that they had no firemen in the building doing anything, and then you'll hear that there were firemen in the building. So we need to know which one of those is true. And another thing about Building 7, and I know Dr. Fetzer's been aware of this, and I'm sure Charlie has too. And I haven't seen direct evidence of this at all, but the south side of the building, allegedly, according to insiders, was so terribly damaged from the collapse of probably the closest of the two towers, I guess, that it eventually just gave up. And when the decision was made to pull it, I guess, according to what Silverstein is saying, added to the fact that for some reason the south side of the building was so totally torn up from all this pelting of debris that the building just went into a gravity collapse. It just decided all at once that we can't do this anymore. I know I'm still here. If you're looking at me from another direction, I seem to be firm. I'm smoking. I'm belching out copious amounts of smoke in certain parts of the building. But if you look at me as a whole and you go all the way up to the penthouse, it's a 47-story steel frame building. I mean,
look at the absurdity of this claim. I mean, the timing would be astoundingly coincidental that just as he says, perhaps the best thing to do is pull it, and they made the decision to pull and watch the building come down. That's when the building just happens to collapse. How is that possible? I mean, the improbability verges on infinitesimal. Not to mention that if it had collapsed because of damage to one side, you'd expect an asymmetrical, gradual, sagging, and partial collapse. Not the complete, total, and abrupt collapse. Certainly you wouldn't expect anything to come down at the rate of free fall. The building came down 6.6.
And it came straight down. It would have leaned in the direction of the damage.
Exactly. That's quite right.
Well, to update those who have heard some of these things already and to fill you in on what the explanation is, it morphs as we go. It changes in time, and they always do. I refer to Paul Thompson's timeline a lot to see just how absurd the current point of view is based on what really happened back then, the sequential order of the whole event.
Another thing I want to mention, too, is that damage that you mentioned, by the way, it's no more severe than damage done to other buildings in the area. Some buildings had worse damage. They didn't collapse.
Yeah.
But that damage begins, and this is admitted in the NIST report, it begins on the 18th floor. How does that explain the building collapsing from the base?
Yeah.
You know?
And that building, by the way, was extraordinarily robust in its construction. It had solid steel beams, where the other buildings in the World Trade Center, including the towers, had hollowed out steel beams in their construction. I mean, these solid steel beams were used because it was erected over an enormous electrical generator providing electricity for Lower Manhattan. They couldn't afford to have that building collapse.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, when you see pictures of the solid beams, it's just astonishing, man. The massive amount of steel that went into that building is unreal.
How did those break into little bite-sized pieces?
Well, it isn't physically possible without explosives, that's for sure.
Yeah. One short video clip showed one pretty massive beam, probably 4 inches thick. I don't remember the geometry of it because it was bent beyond horseshoe shape. It held its,
oh, I saw that. Yeah.
It held its consistency. It had no. There was no real tearing. There was no what you would expect if you bent a steel beam on it beyond horseshoe shape.
And it bent on its wide axis, not its thin axis.
So
you know what I mean?
That's authentic. If it's actually something that came from that rubble.
And there was no crimping. It didn't crack. It just bent.
We have a Paltalk person here that's throwing out the word isothermate in there, and that is also a buzzword that's being twisted and used against the truth movement. Because they were almost like, well, you can't have it both ways, can you? You hear explosions, or did they use thermate? Did the ground shake at subterranean level, or did the building just was it torched with some sort of a mix? Which one is it?
I haven't looked for the seismic data on Building 7. That's an interesting question.
It makes you, well, you know, another part of the Building 7's moment of inertia, and then it's mechanism of motion, as it, the explanation that's being given in these official debunking sites that have suddenly sprung up at the anniversary of 9/11, while we're bickering about whether or not the national intelligence estimate really makes Bush more of a criminal or not, I don't think it really makes much difference. You're a criminal. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. If you do something even a little more nefarious, you're still a criminal.
Well, this guy's pretty big time. I mean, you know.
So you've got the NIE estimate, and then you had the docudrama, then you had Clinton sit down with Chris Wallace, and who knows what that's all about, and now we've got all this ammunition to talk about anything other than the greatest mass murder in the United States history and its lack of investigation.
Well, I think they had Chris Wallace sandbag Clinton deliberately to create a brouhaha so that they could distract attention from the national intelligence estimate, which they knew was a devastating bullet right between the eyes of their foreign policy.
Sure. Oh yeah, everything's a diversion. Everything is.
That's what they're good at. They're as clever as David Copperfield.
That's what it is.
Politics of distraction.
Yeah. Did you catch a few weeks back? NIST posted on their site a fact page. It had like 14 questions and answers.
Oh yeah, I wrote a critique of it, and we have six others right on st911.org. And I defy anyone to read the NIST 14 frequently asked questions and read our critiques. And tell me that there's any scientific foundation that remains to support the government position. I assure you, there is none. Zero.
They would be
zip.
To shut their mouths than to
nada. Right.
Ridiculous. You know what? The most striking thing I think in that whole thing that made me laugh is, in the beginning, they're poking fun at those who claim that explosives were used and that there's absolutely no evidence. But then later on, in question 12, they actually admit the opening statement: "We did not examine any of the steel for residue of explosives." And they call this science.
It's amazing, I know.
I was on a panel debate last week with MIT professor Eduardo Carcel. I don't know if you heard of him.
Go ahead.
Anyway, this guy was absolutely astonishing. He was, again, the same thing like NIST. These guys all play the same game.
This guy was another apologist for the government.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And he even said, we don't receive grant money. That's baloney. MIT is one of the biggest recipients.
Oh, God, yes, of course.
Especially from the Pentagon. They contact with the Pentagon. Anyway.
Well, I think MIT was designed to be a government military-industrial research complex.
Oh, absolutely.
From scratch.
Hey, I think we have a caller in the queue. And another thing, too, is I've seen a couple of questions posted in Paltalk. And a matter of fact, I've had a question sent to me. Maybe we've got about 15 minutes to go. Maybe
kick him out.
Static was the first one. I think we should go with his question.
We have a winner in the contest, too. I think Eat Static is the one that would be, according to the moderator on the Powerful Ground, was the first person to answer correctly with Larry Silverstein.
Oh, okay. He was the winner. I thought he had a question.
I do have someone in the queue. I think it's Tony. Tony, are you in this?
Yeah, I'm here. I can barely hear you guys on the mic. I can hear Fetzer clear. You there?
Okay, what do? You can barely, let me repeat what you just said and see if our audience is having trouble. You can barely hear you and I, Charlie, but Fetzer is fairly clear. Personally, I can barely hear you, Tony, but I did make out what.
That's because my voice will go through 6 feet of concrete.
All right, guys, let me know how am I coming through on the phone, okay?
Say it again.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I also found Mr. Professor Fetzer, I found another article today. Imolac, I didn't get to tell you yet. And this is Tony from New York.
Right.
Condoleezza Rice. They got her, given the clear, the old clear call on Ground Zero for the toxic dust down there, and the big article, front page, New York Post. I think that that radiation is going to be a smoking gun.
Well, I think, yeah, I'm glad to see Condoleezza Rice getting her feet dirty here because this kind of exposure is much needed. I think they have traded on her being a woman and being black to try to protect her from criticism, but she appears to be a very bad person and a terrible individual to be in these positions of responsibility. And when you know that she gave the okay for Christy Whitman to lie to the citizens of New York about the toxicity of that cloud, that dust cloud, that's unbelievable, and that's a direct indictment. That means she was, you know, placing all these people at risk of their lives, and of course they're now dying by the dozens.
Yep. And you know, a lot more people are going to die on than died on 9/11 after 9/11. You know, the Mount Sinai just released a report, you know, saying the statistics of those that are getting cancer is very high. It's a high rate. And then you get that report with the radiation levels there in Staten Island. You got the congressional arm of Congress isn't releasing which park. They're leaving it open. They're not sourcing which park, just saying a park in Staten Island. Then you got the guy, Brian, that works for the Parks Department saying, you know, it's a couple of old pieces of equipment over there at Great Kills. You know, and when you think about all of the computers, all the copy machines, everything that gives off some type of radiation, you know, you would think that would have dangerously high levels.
I know, Tony, and I appreciate your sending me those articles, and I forwarded them on to Steve Jones too, and
I'm
suggested that he might want to take them into account
dying,
in his own research.
In my own union, brothers, you know, and then they lie. It's
yeah.
You know, it makes me want to do something positive. You know, get it to the courts. You know, I thank God that you guys, I want to thank you, Jim. That's why I called. You
I understand. Thank
scholars,
you, Tony.
You got
John, in relation to your earlier question, Condoleezza Rice was an expert on Russia, on the Soviet Union. She would have been a good, possibly a good Cold War national security advisor. I have no impression that she had suitable qualifications, and why the Senate was rubber stamping, you know, everyone that Bush wanted to put in these key positions is beyond me, but then that's what they've been doing throughout, so... Since
why
Paul Wellstone died, we've had one-party rule, and you can see where it's brought us.
No, I think he was bumped off, if you ask me. But
well,
why,
the fact is, I've done a huge amount of research on that and published a book, and I agree with you.
I tell you, there's no end to their crimes. Why would Condoleezza be the one to make that call, though? I mean, as National Security Advisor, that's not even her jurisdiction, is it?
Well, it probably was because it was an aspect of 9/11 of this alleged terrorist attack. But it also tells me she was very deeply involved. I mean... When I'm asked, you know, who I think was the most responsible, and I start enumerating Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Feith, Paul Wolfowitz, General Richard Meyer, Rudy Giuliani, Larry Silverstein, I mean, Condi's right in the mix.
Makes me sick. I'm shaking just hearing you guys talk about it. You know, and it's a lot bigger where I'm at. You know, firefighters are getting sick. You know, this new report was just released by Mount Sinai. I got to go, guys. Just keep up the good work there.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks so much. Keep those articles coming.
Yes, I will. And Imalak, I'll see you, my man. Peace, love, all you guys. Keep up the
Thank
good
you,
work.
Thank you, Tony.
Professor, what do you think of this Sergeant Chavez story that's come out? Do you,
Let's see. What was Chavez? I'm opening an article about it right here. He was talking about NORAD shutting down the normal NORAD response.
Nothing we don't know already. But.
Yeah, but he was on the inside there.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I mean, it's incredible to imagine that these 19 Islamic fundamentalists would have known that we were going to be conducting five anti-terrorist drills that morning that would disrupt FAA and NORAD standard operating procedure.
And
he was saying how he thinks that bringing down Building 7 actually gave them away because they might have been able to fake it on everything else.
Right, right.
But because 7 wasn't hit by a plane and didn't have any of those jet fuel fires, which were so spectacular psychologically.
Well, you know, they must have been.
Guys, let's see if we can get this another caller in.
You got it.
Because
we are really getting
squeezed on time here.
Go for it.
Time flies. Tempest fugit. Our toll-free number here at BBS is 877-876-5227. For the rest of the world, it's 888-810-8322. One more time, 877-876-5227. And internationally, 888-810-8322. And we'll be awaiting your call. And in the meantime, we're going to continue on with this discussion. You guys can go ahead. We have about 7 or 8 minutes on the normal clock remaining. Hopefully, we can get another caller in here. We do have a couple of text questions. I think we're going to be squeezed, though, trying to address all of this. So just get back to the topic in hand. I just wanted to jump in there and let everybody know that, that they can use that phone number and contact the show right now. So get on it. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention really quick, these alleged 19 hijackers must have been extremely intelligent and in the know to think that they could have gotten away with hijacking planes way up in Boston when their targets were down in New York. They must have been totally confident that there would be a complete breakdown in response.
That's great. Why not hijack them from Newark or LaGuardia or JFK?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. How can people buy this? For 40 minutes, Flight 77 was heading toward Washington or whatever it was.
That's right. It's ridiculous. I mean, when I was down in Florida, when Payne Stewart's plane lost contact, they had fighter jets up there within 20 minutes. It was ridiculous.
That's normal standard protocol. I have a question here. We have a caller, sounds like, as well. I want to get this question out to Dr. Fetzer to ponder. Dennis Domenech asks, do you believe that Stephen Jones has proven that Therm-8 was used to bring down the World Trade Center towers? We do. It sounds like we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. My name is John Curtis from the Netherlands. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, John. It's good to hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
Go ahead and ask your question of Dr. Fetzer, please.
Yes, my question is twofold. One is, if all of this coming out to the open and more people or insiders, government insiders, going to say enough and they're going to reveal more and more, is there not a risk that there will be a civil war coming up? Because that's been predicted by many people. And the other question would be, have you heard of the safetyinternet.com, that the internet will be restricted? And it will be approximately in 2008 or 2007 that we have very lot of restrictions thanks to multinational lobbyists.
Well, I think you're raising two very serious concerns. One is that there may be another false flag terrorist attack between now and the election, and that the Constitution might be suspended and the American military used against the American people. That's actually, in my opinion, that's a very serious possibility, because if we have a legitimate election, these people are going to lose a tremendous amount of their political power. I'm very confident the Democrats will retake the House and possibly also the Senate. I think that the American people are completely disillusioned with this administration. They see through them. Their lies and manipulation and cheating is becoming transparent. So that's one concern I have. So I'm very, very troubled. I hope that the American military officers remember that they not only have no duty to obey illegal orders, but they have a positive duty to oppose them. I think it would be good if some of these people were arrested and incarcerated and subjected to trial for their crimes. I believe the amount of evidence to convict them is overwhelming. Once we get a new Congress and they start to conduct investigations and articles of impeachment, you're going to have another period of extreme anxiety, because these people aren't going to be willing to pay any penalty for their misdeeds, which, of course, are astronomical. If our research is correct, they're responsible for mass murder and for crimes of aggression against nations that never attacked us, which under the United Nations Charter is the most serious offense anyone can commit against human rights. Your second question was concerned.
This is concerning about safetyinternet.com. It's all about
right. I mean, look. Scholars for 9/11 Truth is a virtual society. Without the internet, we couldn't have organized. We couldn't have come together. I've met practically only a handful of the members of Scholars, and yet we've been able to exert a tremendous influence disproportionate to our numbers, and that's because of the internet. So I'm very confident that they're going to try to use, in particular, child pornography as the pseudo justification for clamping down on the internet. My opinion is that this is like flag burning. There might be 6 flags burned in a year, but they get a tremendous amount of mileage out of flag burning and even propose constitutional amendments. So I think
because they want to get rid of the net neutrality.
They're going to try and use child porn to crack down on the internet, and the real target actually is is groups like Scholars and 9/11 Truth and 9/11 Blogger and everyone else who has a political interest contrary to theirs. So it's going to be a massive form of electronic suppression. So you're going to have the, you know, the cyber Nazis are going to come to play. I'm afraid there's a very real possibility of that. If we get a new Congress, maybe we can forestall it, because, you know, people who have an intelligent understanding of the role of Internet in society today recognizes that it and talk radio are the two last bastions of freedom of speech and freedom of communication, and we absolutely need the Internet to stay precisely the way it is now.
Yes, I totally agree. By the way, you are also broadcasted live in Europe as well now on untoldmysteries.com right now.
Terrific.
So I'm doing audio streaming as well in Europe.
Terrific, terrific, terrific. Well, I'm very glad you called. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Good show. Go on. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye.
The other question, real quickly, Dr. Fetzer, Dennis Menes was asking about Dr. Jones's work. Do you believe that Dr. Jones is...
Well, there are two sides to that. Has he shown that Thermite was involved in destroying the towers? Probably he has. Is that sufficient to account for the destruction? In my opinion, probably not. So that he's actually allowed for the possibility other forms of explosives may have been used. My suspicion is something tremendously powerful was involved. And it had the peculiar property that it destroyed everything except paper. If somebody can tell me what destroys everything but paper, it turned concrete, it turned desks, it turned chairs, it turned computers, it turned living things, into, including human beings, into little tiny particles of dust, but not paper. Now, if somebody can tell me what can do that, that will be a monster clue.
Very interesting. And you do see those strange glows, too, as the towers are coming down.
All kinds of things. There were explosions going on all over the place. You had the firemen saying, boom, 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 boom. I mean, you know, like a machine gun, they said it was that rapid. It was all computerized. It was electronically controlled. Too sophisticated for man to execute it without the use of computers.
You certainly would not see in a normal collapse, or even an abnormal collapse, buildings pulverized like that. You should have seen at least a couple hundred feet high piles for each building.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Judy Wood, who is a mechanical engineer, a civil engineer, and a material science expert, has emphasized the difference between two models, a pancake collapse model where you wind up with a stack of pancakes, and a blowing up from the top model where she's compared the destruction of the towers to two gigantic trees turning to sawdust from the top down. Observers on the scene were just astonished that here you had two 110-story buildings, and nothing was left. There was nothing left. I mean, unlike the Building 7, where you see all the floors moving in the collapse, none of the floors are moving in the Twin Towers. That's because the building is simply being blown up floor by floor from the top down. Completely different, special kind of controlled demolition. Popular mechanics, other entities try to play a game here and say it can't be a controlled demolition because controlled demolitions are only from the bottom up. Well, that's ridiculous. This is just a special kind of controlled demolition. Controlled demolition means it's a demolition and it's controlled. It's under human control, in this case machine control using computers.
You know, interestingly, FEMA in their, you know, so-called investigative report there, in Appendix 3, they actually mentioned that there was some type of chemical agent present. New York Times article mentioned this as well.
Let me jump in here real quickly. Just want to make the announcement. We are still broadcasting in the Pal Talk forum. Our BBS program passed us by the top of the hour, has come and gone. So if we're still connected. I just wanted to make that point to the Pal Talk listeners that are in the...
Well, I can stick around for a while.
...that I've been proposed that, so I think we should probably just go ahead and do that. We have a lot to talk about. I want to... try to field some of the ideas from some of the people in this room that have also done some research, and there's several, that we are being misled, as we all know. The numbers that are thrown at us from official sources to explain our reality are always skewed. If you hear 40% to 60%, never buy it. If you want to talk about, you know, maybe 18%. Okay, we're back with the Pal Talk and the BBS audience. The BBS audience, we want to say it's been a fantastic program tonight. Dr. James Fetzer has been our guest, and we're going to go ahead and close the program on BBS, continue the program for everyone else on the Pal Talk Virtual Auditorium at paltalk.com. And we're going to go ahead and let the BBS open up the show that follows us. So I want to make that announcement and let you guys know that Dr. Fetzer is willing to stay around longer. For the Pal Talk listeners, get your questions ready, and we will go from there. And we're guys, we're going to go ahead and say goodnight for now, and we'll see you again next week for the People Speak. That's every Tuesday at 8 o'clock for the BBS listeners and the Pal Talk listeners. Stick with us.
All right.
Okay, right now we are not broadcasting, I do believe, so let's...
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall by the relief fortress that saw my people, and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you.